So U.S. and NATO commanders have been telling us that their offensive in Kandahar, Afghanistan, will come later this year, and it could be the decisive battle against the Taliban of the entire Afghan war. But what does a decisive victory over the Taliban even look like? It's been a year since the Pakistani military launched one of its biggest attacks on the Taliban in the remote Swat Valley, and among the troubling signs there is that Pakistani forces, a year later, are having difficulty getting refugees to go home. BBC correspondent Ali Makbul has just returned from one of the refugee camps, and he joins us now from Islamabad. Good morning, sir.
Hi, John.
What is the difficulty convincing the refugees to go home? They don't believe the Taliban has been defeated?
Well, it's more than that. There are issues in that there are still attacks taking place in the very villages that they left. I mean, either people don't want to go back because their villages are in ruins because of fighting between the Taliban and the army, or because they've heard that there are still Taliban around and still attacks taking place, which they are doing. Now, I went over the last couple of days to one of the biggest displacement camps in Asia. Now it is. It's called the Jalazai refugee camp. It took a lot of displaced people from Swat Valley a year ago. You'll remember that massive movement of people, 2.5 million people all moved out of the Swat Valley in a matter of days when the military operation started there. Now, they're being told that everything's fine, they should go back. These people simply don't believe it. And what's more, that this camp is growing by the day because there are other smaller operations going on around northwest Pakistan, along that border with Afghanistan. And so more and more people are being added to it. And really, the authorities are struggling to cope.
And you actually spoke with humanitarian aid workers in the area who gave you a sense of whether the situation can even be improved.
Yes, I mean, the issue is that when the Swat thing happened last year, it was very high profile. They got a lot of aid money coming in. There was a lot of attention. Now the feeling is that that aid is drying up, and the now 1.5 million people who remain displaced, and this is just not just in camps, although when you see some of these camps, they're pretty much like small cities. I mean, they're extraordinary to look at, but a lot of people are staying with host families as well. Now the money is drying up. While they're aren't people sort of starving to death in these camps, you know, they're starting to talk, aid agencies like Oxfam are starting to talk about the fact that, you know, water facilities, food facilities are going to run out at some stage. Now, I spoke to a man from the UN, the UN Special Envoy, Jean-Maurice Repair, who's here in Pakistan, and he said in some cases the issue was that some of the countries who made pledges around the world to send money to Pakistan didn't deliver on those pledges. They didn't send the money. But in other cases, the money that was getting here wasn't being spent in the right way. And this is what he said.
In 2009, Pakistan has received almost $7 billion in loans and grants. So the money is coming. But only part of this money is used for day-to-day improvement of the daily life of the people of Pakistan. And we have to change that.
What does the Swat Valley lesson tell NATO forces in Afghanistan about the possibility of creating civil tranquility in Taliban-controlled areas?
You know, what people here are saying is that really there might have been a military operation. It might have been successful in taking back areas back from the Taliban. But then you have to follow that up. You have to follow it up so that there is development in those areas. And so one area, at least people can go back there and feel secure.
Assessing the follow-up there, Ali Makbul, BBC correspondent in Islamabad.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.